Focus. Set a priority. Accomplish it. Then on to the next one. You can create a revenue generating machine simply by working smarter and not working harder. Unfortunately, we hustle hard instead of working smart. Get more done by doing less is what we're going to go over today in the Ambitious Show. Let's get it. So we live in a world where everyone wants to multitask, and that has been a go-to request or listed skill set even on everything from job, you know, descriptions and applications. People have listed it as an actual skill and an actual, I don't even know how they've done it as a technique, but the idea of multitasking has been around for, unfortunately, far too long that this is an actual asset when really it's a liability. Really, it holds you back. And that's what we're going to talk about because it's come up quite a few times in people, you know, looking at different things from, you know, whether it be a career field, whether it be, you know, what should their product and service be for their business. And the funny thing, it keeps coming back around to the same thing of how so many people don't understand you get a lot more accomplished. You get a lot more done by doing less. And I'm pointing the finger at myself right off the bat because for many years, I even had that mindset that, hey, if I can do five things at once, I'll get more done, which doesn't make any sense whatsoever because you're thinking, if you're doing five things at once, how do you get one of them done, right? Where does it start and stop? I've talked about this numerous times about putting, you know, 10% of effort into something and or 20% or even 30%, right, of effort into something and expecting to get 100% on a return on that investment, which doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So can you get done or can you get more done by doing less? Yes. I'm going to go over that and actual different techniques, but some guiding principles of that and how this can help you from everything from starting your business, your current small business, or, you know, whether you're a content creator, it doesn't matter. You can actually get a lot done by focusing and zeroing in on that priority, right? Not priorities, because it's interesting even the history of how that became a word and how that term became so common use as opposed to priority, which literally is the true, the original word, and how we've adapted and made it into, oh, no, you can have multiple priorities, which is actually, if you think about it, an oxymoron, and how multitasking is counterproductive and leads to you feeling less satisfied, less accomplished. You know, you, hell, it just increases stress because now you're taking on more than you can chew, right? You've been off more than you can chew, right? And how the most productive and accomplished people, they actually use a word, a one sentence word, a beautiful word, okay, in their daily life more than anything else, and that is the word no. And the word no, one word sentence, as a person used to always tell me when they would say it, like, no, it's one word sentence and it's perfect, because that is that boundary that you need to have. You need to have that, listen, I have to get this thing done, or these set of activities accomplished that feed into one activity. We'll talk about how that technique works and how it's helped so many others, and specifically where it start, or specifically where it became very famous, and how you can apply that same technique, and how no can be the word that actually protects your time, because you have to protect your time. And then, of course, as always, different tools for you to use as we give you in every episode. So this episode, accomplish more by doing less, we'll go over those three key points, how that actually is applied to whatever business, whatever activity or function you're about to do, how multitasking is actually hurting you, not helping you. And of course, the techniques and tools that the most productive individuals use to protect their time and safeguard themselves. Let's get it. When we talk about getting more done by actually doing less, one of the biggest and most important areas to think about is the core of your business, right? I say this is the most important area because a lot of times what we'll do is we'll actually create a business that, number one, we'll create something we're thinking, hey, it's going to be our passion project. It's going to make me happy. It's going to fulfill me. And we wind up creating a whole nother, you know, horrible job for ourselves that we really don't want to do on a day in and day out basis. We don't want to work into the wee hours of the morning, you know, accomplishing. That's a passion project, right? And a passion project or passion work, that actually is the kind of stuff that you don't mind staying up till 2 a.m. doing, right? It's like the people who are doing things that we're like, you're not even getting paid for this, but yet you're willing to put 18 hours a day. You're willing to literally put 24 hours of work in, right? The funny thing is that when you narrow down and set a priority for yourself, and I mean set by priority by and make this one key core business function, you make that your passion project. If you connect those two, there's no limit to where your business can go. But a lot of times we're sticking a bunch of stuff on top of a business. Oh, affiliate marketing. Oh, advertising. Oh, I want to have, you know, I want to offer 15 different product lines, you know, that kind of stuff, to where we're getting so far away from why we even started that it stops being a passion project and it becomes stressful. And it's like, once again, it becomes another job. So when I talk about getting more done by actually doing less, like I said, I'm going to the core. I'm not talking about just, okay, I'm not talking about clear out your desk, you know, and make, you know, just have your laptop there, a pen and a pad, you know, don't get me wrong. That's an aspect of it, right? By removing clutter and removing just a bunch of extra noise or separating yourself from your house for a second. Maybe you rent an office once a month or twice a month, or maybe a week out of the month. That way you're away from the family, you're away from all the other distractions, or having a separate studio or separate area in your house closed off. Right? That's what I had to do. I knew to get more done, I need to get rid of distractions. I removed the TV out of the area I had as my office and my studio. I don't have a TV anymore. It's just my laptop. It's my, you know, my monitors, but it's that specifically for work, because when I enter that space, it's for work. That's one aspect. But let's get to the real core of it, because what we often see, and I give you a good example. You know those stores, whether they're a corner store, they're in the middle block, but they're always on a main street, a main fairway, a specific or a very important artery, if you will, of your city. And they sell cell phones. They have grocery items, produce. They sell clothes. They have everything under the sun going on. And maybe they probably even do taxes in this place too. Okay. I can't tell you how many places I've seen that pop up that all of a sudden come tax season. Oh, we do taxes too. And it's like, I thought this was a cell phone store. Yeah. But we also can do your taxes. I'm sorry. I'm not giving you my tax return, but, but the thing is, that's not unique. Like, we see those all over the country. I don't care if you're in Miami. I don't care if you're in New York, Chicago, Houston, they're all over the place. And that's not even just in the U.S. I've seen that all over the world. Okay. We know that store that just has every single thing under the sun, and it looks like they're just cluttered. Even if it's good clutter, like it's good products, like name brand products, you know, top of the line products. And I've seen them where they've had some really good stuff. It still makes you wonder, like, can I trust anything I get from this place? Right? We've all seen it. Funny thing about that, we're seeing that in the digital age too. We're seeing that all over the place. You can see it from someone's Instagram feed. We can see it from someone. We can see it from someone's business listing on, you know, Google My Business or LinkedIn. We can even see it down to the YouTube pages that people make, right? Well, they're doing so many different things. You're wondering, can you even trust one thing that they do, right? What does it sound like? This sounds like bad branding, right? Because the brand itself is now being harmed. And if you don't think those general stores have brands, if you don't think a corner store has a brand, if you don't think a grocery store has a brand, you're fooling yourself. Every business, every person has a brand. How does that relate to getting more done by doing less? Think of what I'm saying. If you are a cell phone store, you open a tax business, and now you connect those two. One, remember, I'm the customer. What did I say from the top about that exact same scenario? I'm not going to trust you with my tax return. I'm not going to trust you to actually sit down, go over all my paperwork, and make sure I don't get busted by the IRS for making a mistake on my tax return, right? I'm not going to sit down and trust you with my cell phone. Things that you can repair, you can fix it, and you are not only are you knowledgeable enough to know what's wrong with the system, but most importantly, Well, what if there's a deal? What if there's a coupon or an opportunity or a promotion? What if you're not aware of all those things because you've taken so much time away from this industry to focus on the tax business or to focus on the grocery store or to focus on the clothing or to focus on whatever else you're doing? Same thing, we could take this to your YouTube. What if you're doing a YouTube and you've taken so much energy into making travel videos that, oh, wait, but I also make videos about fixing people's credit. What the hell are you talking about? Seriously. It's a level of trust. That's where brands really come in, a trust. Brands are not about having a kick-ass logo, great color scheme, you know, expensive products, stuff like that. It's about trust. I trust what I'm going to get from that product line, from that producer, from that company, from that business in general. I trust when I drink a Coca-Cola, it's going to taste like Coca-Cola, right? We've talked about brand trust and specifically in the soft drink and the beverage industry a while back, and specifically about when Coke did that, when they changed their entire flavor and it threw everyone off. And they actually were starting to lose some significant market share because of a major error in branding. It's the same thing. It's the reason why you don't see companies like Nike, you don't see companies like New Balance, you don't see companies that they don't get away from their branding. You know, they stick with it because they're like, we know what that's going to do. The brand is what you trust. You can get way more done as a business owner, as an entrepreneur. Forget that. Let's get, before you even kicked off the business, as an aspiring entrepreneur, by doing less. Zero in first in what is the target audience? What problem are you going to solve for them? What deliverable are you going to provide to them? That becomes your niche. That becomes that single area that I'm going to be seen as a solutions provider. Now, other products and services can branch out from that, right? Because you're going to evolve, you're going to develop more products and services from that. But this is where it has to start. What is your niche? What is your area of expertise to provide a solution for people? That connects to your passion. Because the thing you put the most time, effort, energy, and dedication, and yeah, money and resources to, okay, you're gonna definitely become more competent, more knowledgeable, a specialist, an expert in that area. You know, in every company I've ever worked for, we always have that term, like the SME, right? The subject matter expert, the SEM, the SME, the subject matter expert. Who is the SME? And the funny thing is, in most efficiently run companies and departments, a SME is a singled out individual, right? They'll say, yeah, this person's really competent, this person's really strong, but that other individual, that's the subject matter expert. And the reason why is because they want to single out one individual for the simple fact, not because they want to pile all that work onto one person, right? Although that can happen, but that's why I said efficiently run departments and companies. It's not because they want to pile all the work onto that person, it's because that is the individual that we know. This is the person that has to be informed. This is the person that has to be consulted about a specific project or about a specific area of a project or operation. And we can trust that that person, they've dedicated most of their time, if not all their time, to being a SME on this particular area. Right back into your own business. Because I can tell you right now, there are companies, they offer all kinds of great stuff, all kinds of great products and services that I will never turn to because when I think of them, I don't think of them in this route. Good example, and this happens to the biggest companies. Good example is for those who, you know, old enough to remember the big purchase of this. When Microsoft bought Skype, and you will literally see people, it's the same thing. Actually, the funny thing is almost the exact same thing happened when Facebook bought WhatsApp, which is a very similar reasoning and kind of relationship. The idea was to acquire all of these people using this great tool, this global tool, right, and expand your reach into the world of chat and instant messaging. But here's the funny thing about that. Unlike Facebook buying WhatsApp, which Facebook already had Messenger, right? Well, that's why a lot of people kind of questioned that purchase and questioned that. You know, that relationship, like, well, what's the purpose? Because you technically have the exact same tool that you've developed. Now you're just trying to get rid of a competitor. right? And as everyone, or at least most people that I know who have used both platforms, will tell you, the better of the two you wanted to purchase, WhatsApp. And on the other end, Microsoft. On the other end, you know, Microsoft, a little bit different. Microsoft didn't have necessarily an instant messaging tool that was anywhere near as popular and as readily used as Skype. Similar to how Messenger was a very popular tool, still is very popular tool and a very close competitor of WhatsApp. But what Microsoft was trying to do was penetrate that area so they could get more into being that business machine, that business software, that business platform, right? Word is used by everybody for business. PowerPoint is used for everybody for business. Excel clearly is used by far. You know, that is the spreadsheet tool up until Google Sheets, really. I mean, there were others, but really everyone strictly focused on Excel. That's why even Google Sheets looks like Excel in many ways, right? Same color scheme, just saying. Not trying to get any copyright claims. I'm just saying, y'all, it's kind of interesting, right? But Skype was idea. Okay, now we're going to have it for business people to communicate. But it was a lot of backlash because everyone said, well, wait a minute, this isn't your area. Instant messaging, global communication like that, that's not your key area. Your area is word processing. Your area are servers. Your area is project management tools. Your area is power. Where did you get instant messaging from? And it's kind of interesting that most people, and they'll bring it up, if you look at the history of Skype and Microsoft, how when Microsoft acquired Skype, there was a significant decline. So no one is above this. No one is beyond this. And that's why I talk about money. It doesn't matter in this case, especially. You could throw all the money in the world, right? You could put, if you have I've actually seen one like this. You could have that cell phone store where it has literally, it's sectioned off for people to come in and get accounting done and taxes done. And, you know, it has a little cubicle and everything. It actually looks pretty nice. The office area looks pretty nice, but it's the weirdest combination you've ever seen. And as I said plenty of times before, one of the worst things you could do in a business is confuse your customer, confuse your audience, right? So identify what your niche, identify what your passion is, okay? Identify what your target audience needs the most. Connect those two and focus on producing that single product, that single service. What skills need to feed into it or what experience needs to feed into me becoming that subject matter expert in that particular area. And then, of course, branch out, right? And you can branch out in related areas. If you do web development, of course, SEO, they go very much connected, right? Very much hand in hand. But it doesn't necessarily need to be your hands working on the SEO. It could be you have an SEO department or you have an SEO partner. Or you have SEO affiliates. Because clearly, if you're doing web development, SEO is right there. And I'm just using that, of course, because that's my particular area, right? But the same thing can be said for if you do auto repair, right? I've seen this all the time. Auto repair companies, they work very closely with, number one, auto parts. You know, whether it be an auto part chain, an auto part single, sole proprietorship, or they work with scrapyards, right? They work with people who are in related areas, but it doesn't have to be necessarily their area of expertise. Whether they need parts, they need to sell parts, they want to move out cars, they also work with auto dealers. So when people are like, hey, I want to get rid of this car, it's constantly giving me problems. Well, I have a guy that you can go to, specifically somebody I work with. You know, I fix the cars on his lot, or I fix the cars on her lot, that kind of thing, right? This is the way it doesn't take you out of your core competency, but it also keeps your network strong and it brings you another channel of revenue. So close this out by saying the term that was said to me and it made a lot of sense. So if you go all or nothing, right, you could end up with nothing in pursuit of all. I'll say that again. All or nothing, right? Where a lot of people try to go with their business, they try to do everything and be everything to everybody, you could actually end up with nothing in pursuit of all. If you're trying to pursue every angle and you're trying to be everything to everybody, you can end up not actually producing anything. If you want to be everywhere for everybody, you can end up with literally nothing. You might have a few days on top, or you might never reach the top, because you can't reach the top because you're trying to be at the top of every single business channel, whatever, in even industry, sadly. And I hate to say it, but some people have tried to do this. And we're seeing more and more companies, right, who tried this. And I'm talking, that's why I say money doesn't matter. AT&T bought HBO and then sold it. I don't even think 2 years later. I don't have the exact year, but I don't even think AT&T owned HBO for more than a year. After dismantling, destroying, shutting down, getting people fired, separating, destroying the departments, just to make that acquisition happen, they completely fizzled it away and sold it. I give you that example because people do this on a smaller, but just as impactful level. Because, hey, we might not have, you know, multi-billion dollar businesses and multinational businesses right now. I say right now. But think about what I just brought up. I brought up an entertainment company, specifically entertainment production, cable production initially, and then telecommunications company. Why do you think those two businesses were able to reach those heights that they did? Because they focused and zeroed in on this is what we do. Why do you think that partnership really didn't work out? Because that's not what they do. HBO and telecommunications, AT&T and cable film and production, cable and film production, really? So now look at it yourself. You're an accountant. Okay, if you're an accountant and then you want to, for whatever reason, and I've seen this before, I've seen accountants who want to jump into, well, you know, I'm going to help people on, which I found very interesting, but it's, I've seen it. I'm going to help people on graphic design. I'm going to be a graphic designer. Okay, cool. And then of course, they're wondering why it's so hard for people to say, well, wait a minute, you're an accountant, but you're a graphic designer too. Doesn't mean you can't do that as a passion project. Doesn't mean you shouldn't pursue it as a passion project. Just be mindful that you're now confusing your customer. And because you're trying to be, I'm assuming you want to be successful in both industries, in both areas, you are now giving yourself a ton of other work in a completely different direction that takes you out and takes you farther away of being on top of your game as an accountant. Doesn't mean you can't do it. This is actually why. And I've noticed that, especially as content has become, or specifically video content, and more people are starting YouTube channels, I found it funny because I saw a comment on a very popular, I'm not going to say his name, but a very popular attorney in his YouTube. I saw a comment in one video I was watching because it was about a particular case that I was interested in. And there's a comment they're saying, I found, once again, found this absolutely hilarious. I actually died looking at it because he basically addressed this in almost every other video that I've seen up until that point. The person says, and they said it like this, how the hell does this person have time to practice law and make these, you know, YouTube videos? When clearly the guy has stated multiple times that he's retired from practicing law. And I've gone into other videos and I've noticed more and more, a lot of videos or a lot of channels, especially the more successful channels, by individuals, whether they're lawyers, accountants, doctors, many of them are retired, not all of them, many. So I would say literally 60% and up are retired from their areas of expertise in their professions. That's why they're making quality, or I shouldn't say that is why. That is what's helping and allowing them to make such quality videos, right? Very well edited videos, very well put together, or put the time into it in general to look over cases, look over medical files, look over, you know, statutes, look over and just do the research. Or I love it when someone says to me, it's because somebody reached out to me one time about, you know, doing videos. And of course, you know, we offer, because we're graphic designers, right? We offer video editing services and whatnot. And they asked the question regarding, you know, I want my videos to look like that person. And the person that they literally picked out, I'm like, you do understand that that person is literally a video, I'm sorry, not a video, is a production company. Like, that's what they do. So they're not doing YouTube videos, is like, they they can throw a couple hours at doing a YouTube video because they're like, I'm already in my editing room. I'm already in my sound room. I already have the green screen. I've seen this one channel's studio because they were cool enough to, you know, to share and just, you know, getting feedback. They literally have a whole room just painted green, right? Or just say the whole room, but a significant portion of the room is painted green for a green screen. They could turn their whole room into a green screen because they're a production company. That's what they do. And I literally said to the guy, I'm like, I can understand you want your videos to look like that. That's really cool because it is a good production. But keep in mind, I'm like, I asked him, do you have the time? Because we can edit as much as you like. We can do all that. You have to have the time and dedication to put into the script. You have time and dedication to put into the voiceover work. It's a lot of elements to that. So a lot of people want to make a Disney movie, you know what I'm saying, on a home video budget. It ain't going to happen. Because the simple fact is you're now taking yourself out of your core competency. What's your area of expertise? Maybe you just get your camera, pull up a camera on your phone, walk down the street, pull the camera up your phone, you know, get a good blank background and just start talking to the camera. Utilize a great tool like Canva, you know, do the talking presentations, which is a great tool, something like that. Bring all that up. Getting back to the fact is you're trying to go for everything. Focus on your core competency first and get that done. Make that the priority. Complete that. Then as you grow, yeah, maybe bring in other, you know, aspects of the business where you can find somebody else who's a SME in that area and they can focus on that. Hell, if you've got the storefront for that cell phone store, I'm going to keep going back to this because I found it so funny, the one I saw a few months ago. And if I can find a picture, I'm going to post that up. I'm definitely going to post that picture up. And it was clearly cut off. It was a very surgical, okay? They knew exactly what they were doing. They're like, this side is going to be for selling cell phones. This side is going to be for fixing cell phones. This side is going to be fixing and selling and promoting mobile devices. That side is for doing tax preparation and accounting. Literally, it's tax preparation and accounting. If you have that, if you have the office space, this is my point. Utilize as much of that office space, right? But at the same time, be very cautious about confusing your customer as they come through the door that you do cell phone sales and taxes. What the heck? If you have it section it off to where it's a whole separate door, right? Because I've seen that before and you didn't think it was the same place. I'm sorry, the same business, but it actually was the same business. The person owned the entire building, but they put up the drywall, separate one side from the other. That's a tax business. They had their own door, their own address, their own sign. Separate on the opposite side, that's a cell phone business or that's a mobile device business specifically because they did everything, electronics. Different address, different door, different sign. Stop trying to be everything to everyone. Because when you do that, you sacrifice more than you gain. Okay? So, come back. We're going to get into two specific areas of how to do this or how to really get the most out of prioritizing your niche. And then specifically, zeroing in on what can be your primary product and service and getting the most out of it. All right, everybody. So let's get to your niche. Let's get to specifically where it is that you really should be starting from. It's going to take you some time to get there in some cases, like because not everyone identifies with what their core competency, what their niche is, what their particular area of expertise is going to be that they focus on helping the target audience. But For the most part, a lot of us, they actually start out, which is so funny from what I've seen from a lot of ambitious entrepreneurs, first-time small business owners that struggle. A lot of times they actually start out knowing what their niche is or knowing what their specific area they want to focus on. And they start to branch out because they're like, oh, well, I'm not getting enough business or I'm not reaching a certain level of business that I thought I would. In a specified amount of time, they give this, you know, kind of this time, you know, restraint on themselves. They say, hey, this is where I have to be by a certain point. But a lot of times what they're doing is they're thinking it and they're comparing themselves to others who've had that successful in a certain amount of time or that same timeline or that same, at least that same time span. And that's where they typically are making that error, is like they're comparing themselves to someone else. You can't compare yourself to everyone else. You can't compare yourself really to anyone else. You know, I've always gone back and said, you know, the moment you start comparing yourself to anyone, sadly, you're going to be a failure automatically, because you're never going to be that person, right? You're going to be the best you at something. You're not going to be the best that they are at something. You're going to be the best you at a particular subject area. So, and I took this, or I've referenced this statement, and I've taken this statement and make it a statement. It's clearly, it's a well-known statement by Pat Flynn, who's a well-known entrepreneur, well-known content creator. But, you know, content creation is just a vessel. You know, it's just a tool. I hate when people say, oh, you're a content creator. You create content regarding what? You could be comedic content, dramatic content. What, you know, what kind of content do you create? And he focuses on very similar audiences as myself. You know, us out here, the ambitious, the, you know, the entrepreneurs, small business owners, those who are, but those also really trying to find their way in some aspects, you know, and whether that be entrepreneurship or even, you know, a specific career field that they want to focus on. His term is, and I loved it, because when I first heard it on his podcast and his YouTube channel, the riches are in the niches. That's his term. Okay. I'll call out right now. That's his term. Have no problem saying it, because it's a hell of a statement. If you get a chance, check out Pat Flynn. It quite possibly sums up everything in this episode where we're talking about your niche, right? Or your niche, even though there's no T in it, but your area that you're going to focus on, your topic, your subject matter that you're going to focus on. I keep using that term, not an area that you're going to talk about once in a while. You're going to focus on. Are you going to focus on history? Are you going to focus on world history? Are you going to focus on South American history? Are you going to focus on war history? You see what I'm saying? I'm getting more and more specific. That's where the riches are. I basically just had to say, you know what? I can't run a business in 15 different industries at the same time. And no offense, but I don't care how rich you are. It's going to be hard to do this. And I know there's going to be people out there who are going to throw out, and I can think of three names right off the bat. But there's going to be people who throw out three different people specifically. Oh, well, they own businesses in each of these areas. Yeah, but you also have to keep in mind, you might even own a business in a completely different industry, and you may still do the exact same type of work. But it's not like you're the CEO of one company, on the board of another company, but then you're the operations director of an entirely different business, right? Those take you completely in completely different places. That's why a lot of people, what they'll have is they'll have a holding company. They have one company that actually owns the others. This company that owns all the others doesn't do anything. It just holds the interest of those other companies, right? And it's kind of like that overseer of everything. But it doesn't actually function. It doesn't do anything on its own, except for hold the interest of the others. Or they'll be the CEO of maybe multiple businesses, all in the same industry. Or they'll be on the board of directors, which is even even farther from making, you know, operations day-to-day decisions. But it's in an industry, it's in specific businesses that they have, that's their core competency, right? Maybe it's different sectors of the same industry. So they're not really pulling themselves too far in different directions, but they are definitely, you know, having to just switch gears here and there, you know, put a different hat on. But they're not pulling themselves so far of saying, well, I own a sneaker company, now I own a beverage business, now I own... This is why you see so many entrepreneurs, or I should say business owners at this point, right? This is why you see so many startups, and then they become, you know, larger corporations. They sell their interest in a business because they're like, I'm not interested in that anymore. I can't focus on that anymore. I got to focus on the next thing. So I'm going to give up this. I'm going to sell my shares of it, or I'm going to sell the majority of my shares and keep, you know, a certain level of ownership. And maybe I'll only be on the board of directors, right? Or I'll be a consultant. You know, I'd be an advisor, a paid advisor, a compensated advisor to the business. Because I want to focus on something entirely different. Honestly, this is the smartest move. And this is why you see so many founders of startups, their entire goal is actually to create something and then sell it. Because they know I'm not going to be able to maintain that focus. This is not going to be my priority forever. This is just for right now to see what I can get started to get it off the ground. Maybe this is just me getting to my passion project, right? And the way that you get that business to be successful, you find that core area, that number one focal point, which is who am I helping? Who am I actually trying to provide a solution for? Who am I trying to solve a problem for? And I keep saying a problem, a solution. I'm not trying to solve all your problems. If my business is trying to solve all your problems, first off, I have to have one of the largest, if not the largest business in the world, right? I have to have millions, if not billions of dollars at my resources. Think about it this way. Governments, biggest government in the world, U.S. government, can't solve everyone's problem. And you can look at it one way or another. You know, some people say, well, the government is a really big corporation. Whatever, everyone look at that. We're not trying to get into that kind of a discussion. But we can say this. The government has a lot of resources and still can't solve everyone's problems. You, individual, living in your house, trying to create a business from your laptop or your desktop, you're going to solve everybody's problems? Why do that to yourself? Because now you're putting yourself, as I talked about that, multitasking, stressful. You're actually putting yourself in a horrible position at that point. No, you're trying to solve one problem. You're trying to be a solutions provider for one problem. Nail that down. Connect it to your passion. Because then you're putting 10, 20, 24 hours into dedicated service to get it done. Whether it's through videos, whether through other content creation, whether it's through templates, whether it's through, you know, actually being an actual service provider and producing documentation, representation, producing a product, building a house, no matter what it is, you're putting your time and your energy and your effort into it. I referenced it before and I'll reference it again. It's like when I owned my first e-commerce store, I was actually doing 14 and my best friend at the time, she had a great way of putting it. She's like, Aaron has like 14 different jobs. And she was right. I didn't have 14, but I did have a lot. I mean, that's an exaggeration, but I did technically, I think I had 6 or 7 jobs at the same time. And it's not 6 or 7. It's not that position where people say, oh, I own my own business or I wear different hats. That's one thing. That's another area that can become a big problem. But that's unfortunately where most small business owners find themselves at some point in the very, especially in the very beginning. And that's understandable to a point. Now, there's ways to circumvent that. There's ways to fix that. We'll talk about that in a second. But what I'm talking about is you literally, and we all, hey, you listen to this, you're probably doing it right now. Well, I'm a personal trainer. I do taxes. I raise and sell dogs. I mow lawns. I actually own a moving business. And you know what? On the weekends, I can set up your cable. We know people like this. You may be a person like that. I'm not laughing at you. I'm not laughing at myself. What I'm saying is that we do this to ourselves and we hurt ourselves. And notice I ran the gamut and gave you positions in completely different areas. You're a personal trainer. You know how when I was training, okay, I can't tell you every single day there would be new articles, new discoveries, new studies, new facts, changes to don't use this protein, use that protein. Be careful in the way you're doing this exercise, not that exercise. Focus on doing this exercise to eliminate this specific ailment or this specific issue, to work out these muscles. It would change every day, or it would be new information every day. Now, if I'm taking the time to install someone's cable, help them with the newest and latest promotion, fix the cable boxes or whatever issues they're having, then I'm going out to move, you know, 3 or 4 different clients from one office to another. When the hell do I have time to read all these articles? When the hell do I have time to train myself? When the hell do I have time to ensure that I am giving my clients the best nutrition and fitness advice? I can make some time, you're right, but now What about that time to sleep? Don't give me that bullshit. And I'm sorry, but don't give me that. Don't give me that stuff. Oh, there's no time to sleep. Can't stop, won't stop, don't stop. All that bull. No. And I'm saying bull because I've did that crap in the past before and I burnt myself out. And let me tell you, that's the worst thing you could do to yourself. What the hell's the point of doing all this hard work if you don't get to enjoy it because you're freaking in the grave? I've talked enough times about this. I hate that term grinding. I used to love that term until I really thought about what the hell I was saying. I'm grinding. I mean, I'm grinding myself into the ground. I mean, I'm literally destroying myself. Because that's... Pick a lane. Run with it. Now, if you have to start in one place and then, you know, to get to where you want to be, maybe you have to do the moving service, mow the lawns in order to pay for your certification tests. Okay. That's understandable. We all have to do stuff like that. We all have to, you know, pay for, we have to do the as we call the day job or the side hustles to get to where we really want to be. That happens a lot. That's okay. But here's that's my point. You prioritize and you've said, okay, I am going to focus on getting these two side hustles, save up that money to put into the business that I want to open. So, because I need my licenses. I need to be licensed. I want to have a movie service. I need to be licensed. I need to be bonded, right? I need a truck. I need to pay for those things. So, you know, I'm going to do these two side hustles until this point, save up this much money to purchase those things. That's a plan. Keep in mind, I didn't say the niche had to be specifically just a target audience. The niche is your priority. The niche is your goal. The niche is your the area you're going to be a subject matter expert in. This is about prioritizing, accomplishing more by doing less. Stop pulling yourself in 50 directions. The funniest thing is, it's very easy. The problem is we make it tough for ourselves, but it's very easy to establish yourself with an audience. Here's the problem. The number one component of doing that is the easiest place to fail. It's also the easiest place to succeed, and that's consistency. Consistency. Might sound weird, but an area where most people mess up is they are consistently inconsistent. They'll say, I'm going to do this for a whole year. 2 months strong, 3 months strong, maybe even 4 months. And then all of a sudden it gets to be sporadic. It's barely happening. The quickest way to establish yourself with a niche or with a specific with target audience in a niche is to be consistent. If for 2 years straight, I'm talking nothing about travel advice, assisting you with travel, whether it's YouTube, LinkedIn, TikTok, Snapchat, doesn't matter. On my website, doesn't matter. If I'm doing that for, hell, I said 2 years. If I'm doing that for 1 year, you know what you're going to think? Oh, this guy's a travel expert. They're going to say it. People are going to say it automatically. Oh, he's a travel guru. He's a travel expert. He's a travel advisor. He's a travel consultant. Because I've consistently talked about this. I've consistently focused on this. I've done nothing but consistently produce content about it. That's all I've done. Now, there's other layers to establishing authority and making yourself a problem solver with an audience and really solidifying your niche. Of course, credentials matter in one industry or another, more than another, right? Talked about didn't mention his name, but I think people might have figured out who I was talking about. The YouTube, the lawyer who's on YouTube, right? Like I said, he retired from practicing law. And then went full-time with YouTube. He didn't even start YouTube while still practicing law. He did it after he had retired because he liked to talk about cases. And it blew up. But what does not just helps him from a standpoint of knowing what the hell he's talking about, but the fact that he can get far more in-depth than others do. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of lawyers out there who are doing this. Don't get me wrong, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of current attorneys and there's a lot of retired attorneys. But credentials matter. And the fact that he talks about cases that are specifically in areas of law that he practices in, it's not just law in general, right? Because there's so many different areas of the law, of the legal system, so many different areas of law. That's why we have so many lawyers that, you know, are specialists in specific areas, just like we have doctors who are specialists in areas, just like we have accountants who are specialists in areas. And just from my own, in my own industry, right? In project management and web development, we have specialists in particular areas, UX, UI, IT project management, construction project management. They're specialists in all kinds of areas. He has the credentials in the areas he talks dealing with family law, because that's the area he practiced, right? And he's brought that up numerous of times. You can even find his credentials. He has a LinkedIn page and everything. So that is one of the best areas to back up that authority after you do the consistency, right? That's just me putting another layer of authority and another layer of, this is why this person is the go-to for that niche. Remember, riches, niches, right? I'm not going to keep saying it because once again, it's his quote, but yeah, riches, niches, things. Experience. Once again, those credentials, right? Now, what did you do after you obtained those credentials? You started working in that field. You built up equity. You built up some social proof of the work you've done. So regularly put out the portfolios, put out, you know, the posters or advertisements of what you've done, whether it's paid commercial advertisements or just posting on Instagram or Facebook of what you have done in your field to say, hey, I know what the heck I'm talking about. If I'm that travel guy, well, clearly I've traveled here. So that's what a lot of the travelers do, or the travel advisors, consultants, you know, travel channels do, what they're doing. They're actually filming when they travel, right? Social proof. I'm not just talking about, you know, when I travel to Central America. I'm not talking about when I travel to Northern Africa. I'm not just talking about when I traveled to Central Europe. I have actually been to these places. I'm actually filming from these places as that social proof. So that experience matters. And then finally, of course, what feed into, or definitely comes out of, you know, having the credentials, but the experience more so, is the knowledge. Now you're sharing the information of what you have learned with the world. Right. So these are the three layers that can help you and assist you and help you blow up and grow and help you, you know, solidify your position. But what that very first piece is that consistency, because if I'm consistently producing video, and I hate to say this, you know, but it's the truth. There are people who just consistently post content and frankly, they don't have the credentials. They don't have the experience, but because they're constantly producing content about a specific subject matter, people consider them experts. So that's why if having those credentials and that experience will solidify you, yeah, but you really know what you're talking about. This is what you do. This is who you are. This is why you are a subject matter expert, right? It's not only solidifies you, but it actually, to many people, it validates you. And if you're connecting all these things to your passion, you love science, you love technology, You love to talk about history. You love, simply put, you just love creating videos. So you want to help other people create great videos. Those are why those content creators, those entrepreneurs, those small business owners are so successful in those areas. Because when they're putting all their passion into it, that's why you see some great, and I do mean some great content coming out of there. Right. And especially they're dedicating that time and effort to produce the best content. They're not worried about, well, okay, I also want to do taxes. I also want to, you know, be a social media analyst. I also want to be, you know, a doctor on the weekend, that kind of stuff. No. I want to produce top quality content for this particular subject and for that specific audience. Now, that's how the niche can be so valuable, so profitable. And focusing and making that one niche a priority. And those are components to help you. How to establish yourself as an authority, solidify your position, and really master your niche, right? Let's just get real about it when it comes to the money aspect. There are certain areas where you can start building on that consistent content production, that consistency of working in a specific business sector. I brought these up a little earlier. I'm coming back to them. It's your network. Your network holds more opportunities than you can really give it credit for. Because your network, whether you've already kind of developed it organically from going to school with people, playing, you know, in recreational teams with people, or just social groups, you can also make that network very profitable by building it out from an affiliate standpoint, which I brought up earlier. Now, the example I gave about an auto body or auto, sorry, specifically auto repair, right? And they specifically did areas of the cars. They had a network, and the reason why they're very successful is because they had a network of, once again, every area that they're not the subject matter expert in. Car washes, specifically car lots for a car salesman. And I even brought the term, I even used the term junkyards, but more like scrap yards, right? This kept them steadily in business and has helped them with bringing a lot of customers on a daily basis because you need a place to get your car washed. They have that network. You get coupons, you get discounts, things like that. The car wash is just literally a few blocks down from them. When the car wash was built, I found out by talking to the owner of the auto body place, when the car wash was built, the guy was going around the whole neighborhood, going to different places and just saying, hey, I'm building up this car wash. If you have customers, bring them this way. And people were receptive. But the owner of the auto body shop said, and this is what I'm talking about, your network. Let's establish this from jump. When I get customers coming in, well, of course, they just got their car, you know, detailed. I'm sorry, not detailed. They got their car worked on. They got their car fixed. We want to make sure it's beautiful, it's polished, it's clean, it's looking great. They never hand somebody a car. Hey, we just worked on your car here at Keys. But, you know, it hasn't been detailed. It hasn't been washed. It hasn't been clean. It's a part of the service. But it keeps the car wash in business. And it keeps the car wash with a steady stream of customers because they're like, well, where did you go do this? Or where can I go get it done? Oh, it's right down the street. Here's the car wash. Here's some coupons. Here's a discount code, so on and so forth. Same thing. People come to and this happens to a lot of auto body people. I know if you run an auto body shop or if you've worked with mechanics, they'll even ask you. I've heard mechanics ask friends of mine, like, hey, you want to sell this car? You want to get rid of this car? What you want to do with it? Unfortunately, I've known a lot of auto body people. They're like, well, I have a lot. I sell cars or I park a car down the street. That people, that kind of stuff. No, this guy, he has specifically a few car salesmen he works with. They have full lots, well-maintained, well-taken care of. Where do you think all those cars are getting worked on? They're used cars. Where do you think those cars are getting inspected? Where do you think those cars are getting fixed? Better yet, where do you think those cars are getting washed, clean, detailed, taken care of? Right? When the detailer, actually comes out to the actual car lots and makes sure all the cars are polished, all the cars are looking good. See, it's a network that's been established there. Notice, I'm not talking about YouTube. I'm not talking about Facebook. I'm not talking about TikTok. I'm talking about straight up regular, what we might call regular job, right? But I don't consider that a regular job. That's somebody pursuing their entrepreneurial dream. And that's what we're here all about. So you could do the same thing, whether you own a bar, whether you own a cell phone shop. You don't have to have the CPA in there. You don't have to have the accountant in there. Right? You can have a network that you work with. If you own a bar or restaurant, or better yet, if you just own a bar, let's take a restaurant. If you own a bar, someone wants to throw a party, you should know some caterers. You should know some restaurants. Right? Because what if they want to throw a party in here, but you know what? We don't have a kitchen. But you know what we can do? We can bring those things in. We can have a catering service. Some of the best, and I do mean some of the best parties I've gone to at a bar or at a spot that didn't have a kitchen, they had outside caterers, people who were dedicated on that service. So that way the waitresses and the servers at the bar, the bartenders, they weren't focused on that because that's not their area of expertise. They're bartenders. They're busboys in that respect. They're bar backs in that respect. They are not focused on food preparation. They're not focused on food presentation because we know presentation matters, especially in this kind of case. So that is a good example, and that happens a lot all over the world And it's one of the most simplest connections you can make. But a lot of times we're so deep in, you know, we're so deep into our situation in our business, we're not thinking about, well, let me take a step back and who in my network can I work with? Because then you could say, well, what friends do I have, right, who have a business in that area? What associates do I have that have a business in that area? People I went to college with, who started a business in that particular area? Every real estate agent that I know that's successful, they have a network of four main things: lawyers, accountants, home inspection, and insurance. Every successful agent that I know, every successful broker that I know, every successful loan officer that I know, you can go to them and you'll say, yeah, I got one of not, maybe 15 in a particular area, but they at least have one lawyer that they work with, one insurance agent that they work with, because they're like, I've seen their work and I trust their work. I know their work. And even if you're not, we're not talking about necessarily you getting paid from these people. We're saying that it's keeping you in that position as an authority. Because if I can trust that, man, this guy can send me to the right lawyer. The lawyer can help me out. The lawyer can look over my paperwork. And now you see the track record from that lawyer. What is that building up? That goes back to one of those pillars that I just talked about, experience. Not just the credentials, now the experience and the knowledge. So you don't have to worry about now chasing down clients. Clients are coming to you. And that's what good marketing is. Now, of course, we have that. That's one aspect of it. But then we have the more traditional, you know, ads. Or I should say that is the more traditional referral. But then we have like affiliate marketing. On a digital level, it's almost the exact same principle. For example, do you want a CRM built from scratch? Or do you want a CRM that, you know, is one of the most trusted CRMs, customer relationship management tools in the world? Well, if you want one built from scratch, yep, I know a guy. I know a company. I know a team that can do that for you. If you want to customize the most followed, the most used CRM in the world, yeah, we know companies that can do that too. And if you want to utilize that CRM, you want an opportunity to do it, we have links to HubSpot, right? So there's different ways of handling that. I could be the company that offers, hey, I actually can do that for you. I know the team that can do that for you. I can connect you to the pre-built, the one that's already designed that you can customize, right? There's different ways to run that affiliation. And this will build up that authority, because now you made yourself into not just a subject matter expert, but you've made yourself into a resource. And this is where one thing, and I would say if you're a content creator, this is where one place where content creators tend to fail, to be honest with you. A lot of them just build out this great content, a lot, and I've seen this more and more, build out great content, but they haven't transitioned themselves to be, well, okay, yeah, you build out great content for entertainment. Okay, I'll come to you entertainment, but I'm going to watch your show. I'm going to watch your live stream. This is why I say they tend to mess up or they tend to fail. What if I stop watching live stream? Then you start losing revenue. You've literally given yourself one revenue stream. See, and I said your niche doesn't necessarily need to be that you don't look at all aspects of focusing on that niche, of focusing on solving my problem. That's why I said the affiliation doesn't mean that you actually do that. I didn't say I was going to build a CRM necessarily. I said there's different ways of looking at that, right? Or there's different ways of providing that. I could do that if that's part of my core competency, or I could connect you with somebody because they're part of my network, or I can connect you with something that's already made that you can customize for yourself. But I'm still making myself a resource for you to find that solution, right? I'm staying within my niche. And in fact, if you notice, as far as down that list, I'm actually getting closer back to my core competency. What if I'm just a resource for information? There's plenty of websites like that. Nerd Wallet, Motley Fool, resources all over the place. But there's a lot of things they don't do. And they'll send you to, hey, these are advisors we tell you, we're suggesting that you use. We recommend, because we don't do it. Focus on starting small and lean. Right? Keep your expenses low. create steady revenue streams, and build equity with that network and that industry and that community. Being a subject matter expert makes this really easy because you're focusing. You're not trying to spend money to be everywhere all at once. You're not spending money all over the place to create multiple revenue streams. You're not spending time trying to create these multiple revenue streams either. And you're building up equity with your network by doing what? Being consistent in your content, being consistent in your subject matter. And this creates a powerful network because then people trust you more and they trust that they can come back to you. They trust that they can work with you. And most importantly with that, they trust that, hey, the people you send me, I know why they're coming to me. Because you've handled your aspect of your area and now you're saying, hey, this person needs your assistance and your service on that side of things, right? So with your niche, focus, of course, on what problem you can solve. And as the more you learn, which you should be consistently learning from that target audience, what other areas do they need assistance in? And how can you build a network to solidify your position as a solution provider? What areas can you provide everything that they need without having to be everything for them? Very detailed in that. Providing everything that they need without being everything yourself. Because if you try that, crash and burn, right? We've already gone over that, crash and burn. And we've seen that from the biggest companies to the smallest companies. Doesn't matter. I don't know about you, but I don't have billions of dollars to waste on buying a company and then having to sell it the next year. And the sad part is, we see things like that. We're like, oh my God, companies are wasting so much money. They're not just wasting money. They're losing. Those are people's jobs too, right? Now, this is my own personal ethics, but I'm not about the whole, well, it's about the bottom line and you know, I care less about people. I care about people's jobs. I care about the people who work for me and work with me. And I don't want to just sacrifice people's jobs just because I made a really bad decision just trying to be everywhere all at once. For no reason at all. It doesn't even make sense. It doesn't even align with my target audience. So when we come back, we're going to go over, one of my favorite portions, the book of this episode, the books and recommendations of this episode. And then, of course, finally, the tools from this episode. And the funny thing about it is, it's not just one book this time, it's two books. Two books that align perfectly with this topic, but that will help you and guide you more so than what I've already gone over about consistency, about credentials, about experience, about knowledge, and helping you solidify your position as a subject matter expert in your niche. Books that really deep dive into two particular areas to help you and become stronger in whatever your venture is. Notice I'm not focusing on any industry. I'm not focusing on any type of work. I'm not focusing on any type of type of business structure. It's whatever you want. But the key is to focus. Make it a priority. Systematically get things done. All right? So when we come back, go over the book of the episode. And of course, what I owe you when we come back. All right, everybody, let's get it. So we went over not only the cornerstones or the pillars, right, to help you establish that authority and identifying why it's important to focus on a niche and to focus on a target audience and to be a subject matter expert. We also went into how other ways you can solidify yourself as an authority by simply having a very strong network and working with that network. And that way you can focus on your core competency. And that network can help and support those other aspects. In other words, those other things that you want to deliver and those other methods that you want to deliver solutions to your target audience. And that way they keep coming back to you. That way you don't have to try to be everything to everybody, right? You can focus on the particular area that you or the particular problems that you can solve based on your core competency, based on your expertise. And then you have a profitable and powerful network that you can reach out to and work with. And keep those customers, keep those clients in your ecosystem, right? And once again, this doesn't have to go necessarily to just being online and using affiliate links and working with different affiliate partners. This goes back to the regular brick and mortar business too, right? The businesses, these businesses aren't going anywhere. Okay. Moving companies, auto repair, they're not going anywhere. Dentists, they're not going anywhere anytime soon. So you need to find ways to solidify your position. And if these are areas of your, you know, that you want to get into your entrepreneurial venture, as well, you should, more power to you. I'm never pushing anybody to a specific area of business or a specific type of business. It's about what makes you happy. And that's why your core competency being tied to your passion is so important. So going over all of this, like I said, owe you two last things. Book of the episode, one of my particular favorite areas because I love to read. And whether you're reading this book on a, you know, on an e-reader, or you listen to an audiobook, or you have a hard copy, doesn't matter. Expand your mind and just keep feeding the most powerful muscle in your body, your brain, okay? And then finally, the tools and resources that I owe you in every episode. Like I said, hold me accountable. If you don't have them, if you don't find them, if they're not downloading, let me know. Hit a comment, DM me, email, whichever. I got you. I make sure that you get it because I owe it to you based on your commitment to listen to the show, which we definitely appreciate. That's my professional purpose, once again, is to, of course, help others reaching their professional goals through technology and, of course, graphic design, digital media, all those good things that I work in. The books. Like I said, this episode, we have two books because we hit on two particular areas, right? The first thing was priorities. Second aspect is how to make a profitable network, but really how to build profit from that niche, from that core target audience. So number one, I started with a book. This book, I actually, just like there's two other books that I've said this before. There's a series of books that I pretty much suggest to everybody. Because once again, speaking to the same people, speaking to your network, right? Where a lot of us are thinking the same or maybe having some similar issues or similar challenges. So the information is, you know, valuable to everyone within that group. This first book I have literally suggested to everyone, the same as I've done with four others. And I've mentioned two of the four others in episodes. And actually, you know, I'll make a post about that. The books that I always suggest to entrepreneurs and the ambitious folk out there. This book is called The One Thing. Now, I heard about The One Thing from another podcast. Okay, when I was first really getting into podcasts, shout out to my sister because she's the one who got me hip to podcasts. Right? She was the one. I want to say 8-9 years ago that really got me into like the power of podcasts, just listening to podcasts. As you can see, so I wasn't one of those people who's like, oh, I heard a podcast, now I want to make one immediately. No, I saw it as another opportunity to reach not only my target audience, but to reach the people who they, you know, went to audio, they went to podcasts, and they weren't getting the same information that, you know, they weren't getting the information that I know I was looking for when I was starting out, and I saw comments, and that's why I decided to do the podcast. But, the one thing was brought up in a podcast that I listened to that was reaching me at a very critical point in my life, a very important point in my life. And the guest, brought up this book, and I was like, oh, The One Thing, that sounds like a pretty cool book. Sounds like a nice book. And I was like, well, you know, it's another business book. And I was listening and reading a lot of different types of books. I was like, you know, let me check out the business book. You know, it's all good. Because I hadn't had a recent business book. And I was like, okay, I'm going to give it a shot. And I was blown away. Completely blown away. Completely not expecting to see it as a tool. And this is the sad part with a lot of books we see. Unfortunately, we see a lot of people regurgitating information. We see a lot of people who are giving us a lot of theory. That's why I talk about all the time in this show. We're not talking about theory. We're talking about application. You notice I'm always talking about this is what you need to do. This is what I did. This is what others have done. Right? It's not theory. We're basing this on application, taking action, making an action plan, and getting it done. The One Thing is literally about getting things done and exercises that you can do, right? Professional exercises, working tasks, activities that you can do to reduce the clutter and focus. One of the best statements, and it summarizes the whole book, but one of the best statements in the book, and this, like I said, summarizes the whole book. But then when you take this, based on this episode, listen to this episode of the podcast, right? And then think about the statement. Write this down. Think about this statement. Because this statement summarizes not only the book and this episode, but it summarizes so much, or should say, the reasons why a lot of times we don't get things done. Statement made in the book, until my one thing is done, everything else is a distraction. I'll say that again. Until my one thing is done, everything else is a distraction. Focus, priority. Said that too many times in this episode. Staying away from multitasking. Staying away from pulling yourself in 15 different directions by doing 15 businesses at once, right? Like I said, we have to change hats in the same business. Sometimes we have to do the side hustles to get to the passion project or to afford the passion project. But if your one thing is to get the passion project done or to even get it started, right? Maybe not done, just to get it started. Put the passion project to the side. Do the side hustles that you have to do to afford, to invest, to start the passion project. See what I just did? Even your one thing, even your ultimate goal is a distraction at that point. Because we see people who do it. They'll dibble and dabble. Oh, I'm going to put a few hours here and put a few hours there and put a few hours there. And I'm hoping to get a full project. No. Prioritize. What do I have to do today to get what I want tomorrow completed on time? Use myself as an example with this one. I was writing every single week and stopped immediately. I was writing every single week on my personal blog, on Medium. I was publishing and then I stopped. Then I said, you know what? No, I'm going to do it once a month. Before I even started, I stopped. You know why? Because I said, I gave myself a goal. The goal was I wanted to complete my first nonfiction book. Because I came up with a couple of strategies and I was like, you know what? I want to put this into a nice book. I don't want to do the ebook. I want to put this into a nice published physical hard copy book. But it's going to take me time to one, apply everything that I've written about and actually measure the success of it. Because that was important to me, right? Showing people the work, showing the work, like in school, showing your work. That was important to me. So I'm like, that's something I really want to do. But then the other side of it was, I want to make sure the book is well written. And I want to put my time and dedication into it. So you know what? Yeah, I could take a few hours here, take a few hours there to write a blog, write a couple articles. But clearly, if you've seen my articles, you know, I do a lot of research. I mean, I have one friggin' article on Medium alone that just has all my references for my articles, right? I did that for a reason because I feel that's very important to show your work. And I don't want to, once again, want to base it on hyperbole and theory and all this other, you know, this is actual, you know, research has been done to show and to back up what I'm talking about. So whether it's my personal opinion or it's just the facts of a case. So I made a dedicated and deliberate decision that everything else was a distraction until I get this book written. And then, of course, life happens. Life throws you a curveball. So I couldn't publish it the year that I finished writing the book. But I said, now I'm going to take some time to dedicate towards the design of the cover, the layout of the book, stuff like that. And I gave myself a hard deadline to get it published, which I'm on pace for. But because I took that time off of writing everything else, I was able to get the book done and just get it written initially. And that's the point. Everything else is a distraction. Even though I'm still writing, think about what I'm saying. I was still writing. And I even said that was a distraction because writing something else outside of that ultimate goal was a distraction from the ultimate goal. Every day, every week was towards the book, whether it be rereading a chapter, whether it be, you know, working with an editor or working with a proofreader, every aspect was the book, which is what it should be. So The One Thing by Gary Keller and Jay Papasan. Now, Gary Keller is the founder of the largest real estate firm in the world, Keller Williams. And it's actually largest by sales volume, right? Okay, agent count. I'm sorry, largest by agent count and second largest by sales volume. And they actually contribute one of the major reasons why the company is so successful to the principles that Gary Keller has established. And he brings that up. And that's specifically what The One Thing is all about. And it's really decluttering things. It's really focusing on what's the most important thing to get done. And then, of course, putting those people in place to help you get those things done. Because like I said, it might not be you. Your one thing could be putting the team together, which same thing, took that same principle. And now I have a great team. And that's why we're getting way more done, because we have a great team. We're actually, and you know, I hate to say it, but most people fear putting teams together. They're like, oh my God, I got to pay people. Well, think about it this way. If I bring on one person and I pay them, and that's an extra $1,000. Let's say it's an extra $1,000 a week, right? Going out the door, technically going out the door, but it's not really going out the door because they're working for me or they're working with me. But what that $1,000 is doing is actually bringing me another $5,000 to $10,000. That's more than a good enough investment, right? And that's what you have to take a step back and say, let me put my pride to the side. Let me put my ego to the side. What do I need to focus on? And some things need to be out of my hands. Because I can tell you right now, I'm a good graphic designer. I'm a very good graphic designer. But I know for a fact, and I have no problem telling them, three other way better graphic designers work for me. Okay? And I have no problem saying that. And I should never have a problem saying that. You should never have a problem saying that. Because if you are the best at everything that you do for your company, why aren't you an employee? If the CEO is the best employee, that's a problem. If the CEO is the best employee at every position, that is a serious problem. Why isn't your best employee working in front of a customer? Why isn't your best employee driving the truck? Why isn't your best employee producing the products and services that you need? Because they could be the best employee at that particular area. Maybe not the best employee in your position. See my point? That one thing can go in different places. That one thing can go completely different aspects. You do more by doing less. Read this book. Take the exercises in this book. Like I said, the exercises. This book is not about you just reading it. Oh, that was a good read. Okay, I'm good. I'm with it. No, the book is about application. Almost every single book that I suggest is about an immediate application. All of them have applications. All of them have exercise. All of them have activities. All of them have things that you can start applying immediately. Or I should say that you can start applying. Maybe in some cases you have to build some credentials, you need some experience, but you can start applying. In this case, this is an immediate thing. While you're reading the book, you can, and this is what I did that actually made the book more effective for me the third time I read it, okay? To be honest, like the first time I read it, like most people, I read it in passing, it was good. It's like, it was good. I want to read it again. And unfortunately, it wasn't until the third time that I really read it. But I say unfortunately because I look back and I was like, man, I could have been applying this stuff sooner. But it's okay. Better late than never. I took out a notepad and I would write down the different things. Okay, this is what I need to get done. This is how I need to get done. This is what I need to eliminate. This is what I need to focus on, what I don't need to focus on, that kind of stuff. Even if you don't do it the first try, that's why here's a link to purchase the book. Link to purchase the book is in the description of this episode. Get this book and immediately apply it as soon as you can. Take out your notes on your iPad, your iPhone, your Android, whatever it is, you know, or if you're like me, old school, write them down and get it done. But I tell you right now, if you take the time to do that, you'll get the most out of this book. The second book, I mentioned his name earlier, Pat Flynn, okay? His first book, Superfans. I've actually suggested this book in a past episode, and I suggest it again. Because when I talked about the term that he used, or I referenced the term that he used, I got it from his YouTube channel. If you don't follow Pat on YouTube, is awesome. I say it's awesome because it's just very real. Entrepreneurs, side hustlers, you understand what he's talking about is real. We've all experienced this. It's 100% real, right? We've all gone through these same trials. We've all gone through a lot of these same challenges. We've all gone through the same levels of, you know, feelings of anxiety, of stress, of doubt, of of everything. And I'm talking about from every aspect, from being a father, from being a parent, from being, broke. Okay. Unsure what you wanted to do in your pursuit after college, not going to college, all kinds of aspects. Pat's very real. And that's why I really respect the content he produces and respect his message. And this book is super fans. Now, this is the only book of his I've purchased. He has multiple books. One of the best summaries of why it's important to focus on that target audience is really in this book. And how you could take those people who just happen to pass by your content, look at your content. And it's so funny because after reading it, I notice how I've become a super fan of certain people. And I'm just like, oh, a passerby of others. But I'm a super fan of others. And it's because their content really speaks to what to me. And it's being true to me. True in trust for the brand. Because the whole aspect is you don't need to change everything. You don't need to change an industry. You don't need to change the entire business. You don't have to change the entire world to make an impact on just one person. And just that impact on just one person, it's going to build. But if you focus and you zero in on that one, that single target audience, right? You take that to it from that person level, just a single focus on an audience and make content dedicated to them. That's where the riches come in. And that's why I say it's about application from each of these books. He's going to go in depth of how you can zero in on that target audience and build a very profitable, very valuable, a mutually profitable relationship. Because that's the whole purpose of value, right? It's the value that the customer sees, the value that the audience sees. Not you, their value. Because if you think it's valuable and they don't, it's not valuable. I'm sorry, it's not. That's where most, and I'm a creative, so I can speak to this. That's where a lot of us creatives actually fail sometimes. We think if it's valuable to us, it's valuable to the audience. Get out your head. Stop being egotistical. It's not true. If it's valuable to the audience, it's valuable because they're the ones who are putting that. You might put the price tag on, but they don't have to pay it. It's like everybody out here with these NFTs or everybody out here. It's like everybody out here with NFTs or collectibles or, hell. Anything that they feel is valuable. They put that price tag on it. Oh, it's worth $1,500. It's worth $15,000. It's worth $50,000. To you? Is it valuable to actual purchasers, to buyers, to customers? Your products and services, they might be valuable to you, but not necessarily to the customer. They have to see the value in it because it has to be valuable to them. That's when they're willing to make those payments. That's when they're willing to purchase. That's when they're willing to sell. It's like a lot of people with different technology. They feel like, yeah, I would love to have that software. I would love to have that platform. I would love to have that app, but I'm not paying for it. That's because they don't see the value in it. Or at least they don't see that much of a value in it. At least they don't see that much of a value in it. So Pat goes over all this and specifically how you can develop that level of a relationship to where they do see the value and they do find the value because you've already built it into the product or service or your content. Fantastic book. Like I said, he has multiple books. It's the only one I've read. It's the only one I've purchased. And looking back, I'm definitely going to purchase the others. But I keep coming back to this one. It's so amazing. I keep coming back to this one. I've suggested it before and I will suggest it again. The one thing I've literally suggested to everybody, right? And superfans I've suggested in the past episode. But both of these books correlate. Both of these books connect with this episode, of course. Because when you jump from the one thing to super fans, everything spoken in this episode, you already have toolkit and resources, right? A toolkit and your resources to do exactly what we're talking about. Define and develop that target or define that target audience, develop a problem-solving solution for that target audience that they find value in and how to deliver it. The one thing will help you with that on how to deliver it and what to focus on and what delivering. Finally, your takeaways and your tools, right, to get you there. Because like I said, it's about having the right resources and tools to get you to a goal. Sometimes finding your niche is a little tough. So what we created is a niche worksheet to find your unique worksheet. It's actually a weighted worksheet. It's like a decision-making matrix. If you haven't used a decision making matrix before, it's a very cool tool. You can build, they've, you know, built in everything from websites to Excel, everything. This is actually Excel and Google Sheets based. So you can download that free template. All you have to do is put in what's in your criteria, right? And there's an entire video on YouTube on instructions on how to use it. The great thing about this is it gives you actual values, right? It makes your artistic, abstract, creative way of thinking, it turns into a very practical way of thinking, right? It's a fantastic tool. Customer avatar worksheet. I've offered this before, offering it again, because the feedback we got from the customer avatar worksheet, insane and awesome. That's all I can say is it was insane and awesome. When thinking about this episode, I was like, well, what's the next best tool? If you know your niche, you need to know your audience, right? And you can work them interchangeable, but sometimes I suggest you go with the niche first, develop what is that particular area I want to focus on? What's that subject I want to focus on? What's the area of the sector I want to focus on, right? Then you then build out who that audience is that in the customer avatar worksheet. And you might actually have to go back and say, okay, well, actually the first, it gives you options. Which niche was best or which niche gave you, you know, you gave the higher score to, because that's the one you're going to move forward with. You might actually find it's the second or the third that fits that target audience. Because remember, your target audience is the one that has the problem. They're the ones who need the solution, not you. They need the solution. They need the problem-solving solution, right? They need the service provider that's going to help them. Now, I've brought it up before, and one of the best tools to utilize that target, that the customer avatar worksheet in, is a CRM. Because you're about to start a business. That's great. You want to start a business. You want to help people out. But you need sales, man. Okay? You need some revenue. And the best way to get continuous sales is to build a really great relationship with your target audience. The easiest way to do that is with a strong CRM. HubSpot CRM I've used for years. It's the one I trust the most. Honestly, I've used other CRMs, but I would trust this the most only because of two specific areas. Number one, it's so user-friendly. It's so user-friendly in the fact that it can easily be customized, can easily be updated, and they're constantly working on this thing from a business owner standpoint, not a tech standpoint. Because sometimes we have IT, I've worked with IT teams and IT departments. And the biggest problem we see with software and technology is when it doesn't connect with the business, with the end user. HubSpot, no, it's all about the end user, right? It's all about the end user and making it very intuitive for you. Easy to get started. And the CRM bundle that we have a link for you in the description below is a fantastic. That's an affiliate link, just so you know. Full disclaimer, that is an affiliate link. You know, you by supporting CRM and supporting the HubSpot CRM and using that link, you support this show. You support us in our endeavor and to help other entrepreneurs and ambitious folk like yourself. And then finally, have a discount for the keyword research ebook, because when you're developing that customer avatar, you want to know exactly what it's going to take to reach them online. And unfortunately, a lot of time with content creators, they're not focused enough on classic SEO. And the funny thing is that the foundations of SEO, classic SEO, as I call it, classic SEO, right? Classic search engine optimization, is that it actually makes your life so much easier to create that content. I know who I'm targeting. I know what niche we're supposed to be in. Now I know what keywords to use in my content, right? And if I don't know what keywords are, I don't know how to use keywords, that's what this ebook actually helps you with. So it helps you from everywhere from a beginner standpoint to an advanced standpoint. How to do basic keyword research, what is keyword? What are keywords? What are keyword research? What it entails? Tools to use for keyword research? Every aspect that you can think of in this one brief ebook that I've written just for you guys. There's a discount code to download that book. So you have one of our affiliates, HubSpot. So like I said, support that affiliate, is supporting them, is supporting us. A discount code to purchase the keyword research ebook at a discounted rate over at our store. And then, of course, you have a free niche worksheet. Find your niche. If you've never tried this before, it's a great way to develop. I would even suggest if you already have a business, this is a great tool. I would suggest even if you already have a business, this is a great tool to utilize to see maybe one of the areas you're working in needs to be dropped and you need to focus on another. And of course, the customer avatar worksheet, because if you don't know who you're selling to, if you don't know who you're targeting, there's a lot you could be missing out on. You know, you could be putting content in the on the wrong platform. You could be, I hate to say this, you could put a lot of money into advertising on the wrong platform. It happens all the time. That's actually why one of the reasons why I developed this tool was because a customer was doing just that. They were making a lot of advertisements. They were spending a lot of money, and they were just not getting the right people. And then when we did one ad for not even a fraction of the same price they were spending monthly, by utilizing the components that went into the worksheet, we identify, hey, you're looking at the entirely wrong region, first off. The most profitable region. I shouldn't say the entirely wrong region. The most profitable region you weren't looking at. And it saved them a lot of money in the long run. So, and to this day, they still use that tool. And every time I make an update, I send it to them. So, you have four opportunities here. You have four resources here. On top of the two books, on top of this episode, I'm not gonna delay you any further. Accomplish more by doing less. Okay? Simply put, simply said, I'm done. Two books. Go ahead, purchase those. You have links of where to purchase those books, audio or hard copy, in our description of this episode, as well as the Find Your Niche worksheet for free, the customer avatar worksheet for free. A link to our sponsors, our affiliates, HubSpot. Get the number one, the best CRM for entrepreneurs, for small business owners. Can't beat it. I tell you right now, like I said, still use it to this day. And keyword research ebook, got a discount code for that, because just to get you started, if you haven't touched on keywords before, this will help you get you going. If you have touched on keywords before, this will help you with some new insights and some additional tools that you may not be using right now. You have four tools. Go ahead, use them. Find your niche. Find that target audience. I'm not going to keep saying dude's quote because it's just so bogus. But check out Pat Flynn if you get a chance. And, you know, if you guys watch Pat Flynn after watching this or listening to this episode, you know, let him know, hey, Aaron Muhammad sent you. And Aaron Muhammad's a dedicated fan. Watch every episode of his podcast, of his video cast on YouTube. So every chance I get. Best to you guys. Best to you and your loved ones. Stay ambitious. Utilize these tools. And let me know how you went about, you know, using those worksheets. I always offer this. Please do. Hit me up. Let me know. Hey, Aaron, I checked out this worksheet. This is my worksheet. Hey, Aaron, I checked out the customer avatar worksheet. Here's my worksheet. I would just love to see you guys using them, you know, and see what you guys are doing with them and how they're helping you out. So, peace in a bottle of hair grease. Old school. Yes, I am an old man sometimes. best you guys. See you in the next episode. This has been The Ambition Show. I've been your host, Aaron Muhammad. Pleasure as always. Go get it.